Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's July 9th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Please text first because of all the robocalls. You can find all the updates you need to know about the Wichita Mission Church or for radio or anything you need to know about us. Find us at prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net. Internationally, it's live on YouTube, some FM. So pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. City of Bristol, United Kingdom, Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, Vancouver, Canada, cities in the United States such as Springtown, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, and Long Beach, California. And yeah, Wichita, you are the top again this week. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer, I'll bring on tonight's guest, your Heavenly Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach's name of prayer. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please, give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, so much has happened so far this year in 2020. You're hearing people out there saying, what's next, aliens landing? Well, we're not going to talk about aliens. And I, jokingly, it really wouldn't surprise me if some kind of fallen things popped up and said that they were aliens and they came to save us. There's just a crazy year. One small town pastor, though, was given three dreams that shocked him and members of his congregation, and then they started coming true. He was reluctant to put them forward, and when he did, it went viral, and he's been getting all kinds of people from all over the world saying that they were hearing the same things. I pray the second and third dreams that he had, as he had three dreams, don't come true. But really, they already are in part. But what are dreams? Do dreams just always come true? Are they always just from the Father? Well, we're going to get that question answered maybe tonight. But there is a real enemy out there, one who is behind really all of that. You need to know more about him as he is masquerading. So tonight we bring on one of our favorite guests. That is Pastor Carl Gallups. He's a best-selling author, a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. He's been on TV, and he's a radio and guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network, and also is a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 10 books now. This list keeps getting longer, folks. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, and the newest is Masquerade. Welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you with me?
Pastor Dan, my good friend and brother. Yeah, I'm here, man. Thanks. I'm looking forward to tonight. As always, this hour will probably fly by, at least for you and me. I hope it does for your audience as well, right?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it seems like I just blinked my eyes and it just is over with. Before I go into anything, you know, I pulled up your website like I always do for whoever I'm talking with, you know, to see if there's anything new on their website. And I kind of laughed. I mean, it's right, but you really didn't have to put it on there. When it first comes up, it says Carl Gallup's Ministries, because in Jesus Christ, all lives matter. You didn't really have to put that. It's almost like you poked him in the eye. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what I did, brother. And if you go to our church website, let me see. I'm clicking on that right now. I just happen to be sitting in front of my computer. It says Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, and then underneath it says the church where, because of Jesus Christ, all lives matter.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord. It just surprisingly caught me, but it's true. And amen, amen.
You know me well enough by now to know that I would do something like that if I thought I could get a good word in for the Lord Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That says that right there just shoots your character right on out. You just stand up boldly and you go on. You didn't shut your church down during the COVID or anything, but
no, sir.
You're just a bold guy. I mean, come on. You even you introduced President Trump once, didn't you? Remember?
Yes, I did. I you know, but the boldness. Thank you for your kind words. Listen, if that's true, then it's an anointing of God, you know. And I spent all those years in law enforcement, so I think the Lord used that. I mean, I've been shot at, I've shot back at people, I've been in riots, I've been in burning buildings, pulling people out over the years, and all of that. I think the Lord used that to just kind of help me to understand that life is fragile, every day is important. Just be bold, get out there, live for the Lord, and just whatever happens, happens. The Lord's got it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and that's a fact. When you get to the, here's the way I always looked at it. And way back when I was in the world, you know, I fought a lot. When I learned how to take care of myself, then I became a different person. I became more mellow, actually, because I knew I was safe. But there was no real safety until I found the Lord. And then after I found the Lord and I realized all these guys can do is kill me, then, you know, it makes me bold. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all in His hands. They're not going to do anything to me that the Father doesn't allow them to do.
Well, that's right. If we're walking in Him, that is a truth. The Apostle Paul said that in several different ways, you know. And at one way, he said, you know, I'd rather depart from this body and be with the Lord. He said, but I'm convinced that He'll keep me here until He's through with me. And, you know, in other words, he knew. I mean, he had already tasted of the divine glory, the divine majesty. He'd been caught up to paradise. He smelled it. He felt it. He saw it. And he wanted to go back and just to leave this world of filth. But he told the people, he said, look, I imagine I'm just going to be here until God tells me or calls me home. And so I've translated that to, if we're walking in the Lord, if we're going where He tells us to go, saying what He tells us to say, doing what He tells us to do, we are immortal until He is through with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I never thought of it, calling Him immortal. But yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because we're in His hands. The problem is not everybody, you know, the Father will try to speak to them and they just, you know, just don't want to listen. Or maybe they're drowned out by some other voices that maybe we want to talk about in a little bit. Coming up to that, did you happen to look at those dreams I sent you at all?
Are you talking about the pastor?
Yeah, Pastor Dana. And I did.
I looked at so much stuff. I was trying to remember, but yes, I did, brother. Uh-huh.
Let me throw something into that before you say anything about it. You know, I just had him. He agreed to be on the program with me. I had him on about an hour ago, and you know what he saw. You know, it brought him to tears because the guy, you know, he's a small town pastor. His congregation is never over about 100 people, you know, and he's in a small town in Kentucky, and he just put these out on his Facebook page for people that was his friends. He didn't expect any kind of viral thing or anything. And he has been just people showing up at his house and just people from all over sending letters and things and saying that they agree with him, and it just went viral. And, you know, so, and the guy was even, you know, he was on Cheers on the program earlier talking about this. But what do you think about it? I mean, you know, I mean, number one question is, just because somebody's given a dream, is that an absolute thing, or are they given for warning? What's your opinion on it, and what do you think about this guy?
Well, I feel like a hog being set up for slaughter, brother. I think.
I try my best to do that, Carl. I know you do, brother.
That's why I love you so much. And of course, you know, in my last book, it's not my latest book. My latest book, I'm still working on. It'll come out in the first of 2021. But my last book, Masquerade, that's the latest book that's out there. You know, the last chapters I deal in revealing an amazing, astounding, very real vision / dream that I had years ago, and that was then replicated, I didn't even know, by my grandson. And then in a prophecy conference, I was with my son, the dad of my grandson. And then a woman from Peru walked up to us at the table and said, God told me to talk to you. I've had a dream, and you're the only one that can interpret it. And I said, I don't know. I've never interpreted a dream. I don't know what you're talking about. And she proceeded to tell me the very same dream I had had. And I had not shared it with anyone at that time except for my own family. But now it's all over the world. I've shared it in prophecy conference. And so I know what this pastor is going through. Same thing's happening to me. We've just got multiplied thousands of emails and phone calls to the office. It's every week. It's been going on for several years now. People all over the world that are saying that they've had the same vision, the same dream, or something very similar, or something that has the very same message. They're wanting to connect with me. Some of them, I think, are very sincere. Others, I think, have some nefarious plans in mind. I've had people show up at my church. They've shown up, not at my house, but in other places where I've been and kind of confronted me with it. Most of it's very, very positive. Some of it's very nasty and attacking, and I'm sure this pastor has experienced it, or he will. But to answer your question, since I'm so firsthand, aware of this, and I think you knew that. That's why you set me up like you did. But
sure again.
Yeah, but yeah. Look,
I couldn't think of a better person, Carl.
I know you couldn't think of a better person to attack, right?
Okay, folks. I love Carl. I'm not picking on him. Maybe. That's
maybe. Yeah. Brother, you know, it's amazing. You and I have never met in person, but I we've known each other forever over the radio. I mean, for years. I mean, for a decade or more. And I just love you, Dan. I do. But anyway,
well, I have a surprise for you. I'm going to watch your. COVID kind of changed it, because I decided there's about three people that I've had on a lot. You, Joel, and another person. That I went, okay, you guys are all over the country in prophecy conferences. I'm going to show up. And then COVID kind of destroyed all that for this year so far anyway. But don't be surprised if some guy in the audience waves at you, you know.
No, brother. That'd be great. I'd love it.
Okay. Well, anyway, move on.
No, yeah, well, yeah, and people visit my church all the time because of all of the radio and TV I do. It's amazing. Yeah. So, yeah, and there are people in my church and people that have visited that hear you and me together on your show, and that's really cool. So, but yeah, listen, back to your question. I don't know Pastor Dana, but I watch those videos. He seems to be such a genuine, humble guy. I do not come at those kinds of things judgmentally. Why? Because I've had it happen to me, and I know my heart is pure in my situation. And my son and my grandson and this woman that came to us at this conference, and now I've told it to the world, and the world's going crazy. And so I know how evil can get involved in that, but I've never claimed to be a prophet. I've never claimed to have to be someone who's constantly having dreams and visions and everybody gather at my feet so I can teach you what's going to happen. That's not me, and I don't think that's Pastor Dana either. We're just a couple of guys just trying to humbly serve the Lord. We're not in mega churches. My church is pretty large, but it's not a mega church. But we are reaching the world and have been for years, just like your ministry and probably like Brother Dana's church. And so so I listened to him. And look, I'm going to be watching. I mean, I'm not running around, saying, oh, well, this guy's had a vision and whatever he says, you know, is going to happen. And I don't want people doing that with me because I don't know. I just know what I tasted and touched and smelled and felt. And I know where I was taken and he does too. And so, I'm very interested in it. I'm going to pray for the man. I know how unnerving all of this can be, especially when all of the attention comes your way that you didn't expect would happen. And, of course, there are evil, nasty, jealous, little, petty people out there that will constantly attack him and harass him. Most of that, of course, is from Satan, the enemy. But, but look, we're living in those days, Pastor Dan, when the Word says, you know, you're young men. We'll have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I guess I'm an old man because I had a dream. But I mean, you know, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, my son and my grandson are out there teaching, preaching, prophesying. I mean, it's happening. My daughter-in-law, same thing. It's happening in my family. It's happening in our church. It's happening around the world. It happened directly to me. Now it's happened directly to Pastor Dana. This is why I went ahead and put it in that book, Masquerade, because we were getting so much correspondence. I thought, well, I need to make myself accountable. I'm not hiding this in a dark corner. I'm not coming up with a different story every time I tell it. This is not something I invented. This is something that happened to me that was so real. It's like the Apostle Paul, when he was caught up to paradise, he said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. All I know is I was there. And I get it. I get what he means. So I put it in the book so that I could just be accountable before the world. And Pastor Dana put it in videos, and he's accountable for the world. So we shall see, brother. But I'm on his side so far.
Yes. Well, amen. And the reason, and I know it's a hard thing to do. You know, people ask me, well, do you believe that everything in it's going to come true? But here's the thing about dreams. Number one, the big thing about his dream is that there are a lot of things that he saw that he shared with his congregation. When he had the first dream, well, they're the ones that pointed it out to him that, hey, it's happening. And so, you know, he put them out. Okay. But while a lot of it's coming true and there's a lot of detail, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and this is the two emphases I tried to do with him today, is one, emphasize that dreams are also giving it warnings and they can be changeable. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you repent and change, doesn't necessarily mean every little detail, let alone the symbolisms that are in them. Okay, having said that, I spent most of the program, Carl, just talking about to his heart, you know, about what he was going through. And, you know, you were better prepared for that dream that you had than he is. And he's just, you know, he's getting a lot of flack. He's getting good things and bad things, and he really doesn't know how to handle it. But you're now moving on to you.
Brother Dan, just let me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Let me just say, if you feel comfortable, give him my email, phone number, whatever you have for me. And if he wants to speak brother to brother to a guy that used to be a cop and a guy that's been a pastor for almost 40 years, that's been through the same thing, put him in contact with me and I would be glad to minister to him and encourage him.
You know that? Amen. That's probably the whole reason I probably brought it up. I will pass that on to him because I really do think he needs to talk to somebody. Yeah, he does. He's just not. I can tell. I'm a pastor. I can tell.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to flip back to your dream. Now, for the record, you did share that a lot before it went out in this book. You shared that dream on a radio program.
Yeah.
Of course, I've gotten a lot of things out of you over the years, but it is it is fantastic, and there's the confirmations. You know what I'm saying? You had confirmations. You had the woman coming up and telling you, and then you had your grandson. The grandson was really impressive. Really impressive.
Yeah, well, see, he had the dream before me, and for years before me, and I didn't even know it. He didn't share it with anybody but my wife, and he was sworn to, she was sworn to secrecy, so she never shared it with me until I was sitting down having coffee one afternoon. About a year or two after I had had my dream, I finally got up the nerve to tell my wife because it was so surreal. And when I told her, her jaw just hit the table. I've told the story before, so I'm not going to retell it. But she said, "You've got to talk to your grandson." I said, "Why?" She said, "You just got to talk to him." And so anyway, bottom line is I sat down with him. She promised me she was not going to tell him anything or me. She got us together. And then she said to my grandson, she says, "Now tell your papa about your dream that you shared with me." He started telling it, and it was word for word, detail for detail, the dream that I had. And then years, I mean, we were just blown away, and I told his dad, told his mom with his permission. And then years later, 3 or 4 or 5 years later, I was doing a prophecy conference. I was standing out in the foyer. My son was there helping me with my books and talking to people. And a woman I've never met before in my life, just among thousands of people there, she just walked up and she said, "God told me that you could interpret a dream for me." And she was crying. And she said, I'm so disturbed by it, but he told me you were the one." And I said, "Ma'am, I'm not a dream interpreter. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about my dream at that point." And then when she started, she was using the exact same language that I use when I tell mine. And my son grabbed my arm and he said, "Dad, she had the same dream." And she started crying. She said, "What?" And I said, "Just keep telling." So she told me the whole thing, and it was the same dream, the same dream. And I told her, I said, "Yes, I know exactly what it is." And she just started weeping, and she said, "So God did tell me correctly that you were the one. You were the one." I said, "I guess so." And, I mean, this was in Minneapolis, and I'm from Florida, and yeah. You know, we had never met, and I was at a prophecy conference. So, anyway, that's when – a couple of years ago, I was at a Dallas prophecy conference, and I just stood before the world. We had live stream cameras going and probably about 1,000 people there, and I told it from the pulpit as I was preaching, and the people just went out of their minds crazy, and it's been crazy ever since. Well, so I know what Pastor Dana's going through.
Well, we're just about time for a break. We'll come back, and we'll see what else I can pull up.
I don't know if we'll have anything to talk about, brother. Hey, we might
probably not. Probably not, folks. You probably shouldn't even listen to the second half.
We'll just be sitting there looking at you.
Tell them where they can find you at, so we can go to break.
Okay, CarlGallup.com. Carl Gallup, CarlGallups. CarlGallup.com. Everything about me is right there. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, everything that you need to know, folks. And if you need to know more, just listen to this program. We'll get it out of him. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go and let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus can save. On the cross his life blood he gave. He poured it out for sinners. He's looking for it. Sinners, let's tell him that he rose from the grave. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus is King. Peace and love and joy he will bring. And when they feel like dying and there's no use in trying, let's tell them Christ is everything. Go and the throne and gives them every good thing they own. Let's teach them to be grateful and pray that they'll be faithful, that he's the best friend we've ever known. Well, let's go. We've got to let people know. Baptism of fire. Tell him that he'll fill them, he'll touch the sick and heal them, and those with heavy hearts he'll inspire.
Emperor Constantine to the churches at the time of the Nicene Council leaves little doubt that Constantine hated the Jews and anything associated with them. Excerpts from Constantine's letter are as follows. Quote, when the question arose concerning the most holy day of Easter, it was decreed by common consent to be expedient that this festival should be celebrated on the same day by all in every place. And truly, in the first place, it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration. It is fit, therefore, that rejecting the practice of this people, we should perpetuate to all future ages the celebration of this rite in a more legitimate order. It is necessary that this fault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord. It should be considered that any dissension in a business of such importance and in a religious institution of so great solemnity would be highly criminal. End quote. While it is true that the Jews, with their many uprisings, had challenged the patience of the Roman Empire, Constantine, in his efforts to substitute the pagan festival of Easter in place of Passover, failed to recognize that the original members of the Christian faith, which he claimed to subscribe to, were in fact Jews, who kept the commandments of God, and who accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're talking with Pastor Carl Gallups, and we'll get right back to him. Just remember this. Support radio, folks, because the only way that we're on radio is by your kind donations, because this ministry sells nothing. The radio station sells things. They have commercials, but those aren't mine. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, give a donation over the phone. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And we are still helping the people in the time of COVID. So if you want to help the mission church, that's great too. Are you still with me, Carl?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Okay. Just in follow-up real quick on what we were saying before the program, I've almost had an email done that I'm getting ready to send him, Pastor Dana, about, you know, getting in touch if he needs it. I just wanted you to know that. I'm going to send it to him when the radio program's over. But, okay, now, I didn't have to think very far about, and I'm not trying to swing things on you, but, you know, I really believe that I'm not trying to call you a prophet or any of those things, but you've had some real, other than that dream and vision, you've had some really important things happen to you. There was a really supernatural pulling on your life, and you do have a calling. The elevator incident, Carl, you can't warm out of that one.
No, I know. No, the elevator incident, the funeral incident with the child, you know, just things that I've said in preaching that sounded so far out, and then within years they all came to pass, and my whole congregation's witnessed to it. And I mean, you're right, brother. I mean, it's a scary thing. Look, the book Masquerade. There's stuff in there. Brother, I wrote that last year, and then it came out because the publisher had already set the date. It had nothing to do with COVID, but it came out March the 15th, right in the middle of COVID. And what's the title of the book? Masquerade, Preparing for the Greatest Con Job in History. And the book talks about worldwide pandemics and deception and lies and truth being thrown to the ground and people panicking and freaking out. And I told my wife just the other day, I was kind of thumbing through the book again, you know, because I'm writing a new one now.
Right.
So, and I told her, I said, baby, I don't remember writing this stuff, but this stuff is talking to today. I said, this is freaky. I don't have any conscious memory of several big portions I was reading. I said, I don't remember writing this. I said to her, I said, but this is a good book. And I laughed, and she laughed. And see, she did the first editing before we sent it to the publishers. And she said, I told you it was a good book and very prophetic. I said, well, but at the time I wrote it, it wasn't prophetic. I mean, as far as nothing that I said there was happening. And now it's happening. So you're right, brother.
Absolutely. Let me butt in on that. The book, Masquerade. I mean, now, while I do want to get into some detail about identification things, people don't even know what demons are, and that's in that chapter 6 of your book, that portion. But here's the point. It is that. I mean, it is so prophetic. I mean, like, now, here we go. Now, you talked about Pentecost and how the churches were shut and everything, but come on. The church, they're still using the masquerade of COVID to keep the churches shut in California. Well, not to keep the churches shut. They won't let them praise and worship. What do you think about that? If that isn't of the devil, they don't want them to praise and worship. That's you.
Yeah. No, brother, listen. I've been preaching and teaching on this from my pulpit, and, of course, we stream live. We have 70,000 to 80,000 people in the course of a week after I preach that will tune in and watch that. We've got several thousand watching us live every Sunday. I've been preaching and teaching this ever since these lies started pouring out, and I'm livid about it, but with a holy unction upon me about it. And you're right, brother. I mean, the hypocrisy, the duplicity, the demonic that's attached to this. Yeah, and this is going on all over the world, and I'm documenting all of this in my next book, because my next book ties into the next few years and what's getting ready to snap. And and I tie all of this in 2020, the beginning of 2020, has so many prophetic significances to it, and you'll read all about it in my next book. And there was a snapping that happened. And I had been saying to my congregation for several years prior, folks, something's getting ready to snap. Something in my dream. Remember I told you?
Yeah.
That's what I told the world. I heard something snapping, popping in the air. And then that's when all hell broke loose, and pandemonium and panic and chaos, and then eventually the rapture that I experienced and everything else. But it was preceded by a loud cracking, popping sound. And ever since I had that dream, I've been telling people, folks, something's getting ready to snap. So you're right. Here we are. For the first time in the history of the church being born over 2,000 years ago, never have these things happen before, the things I'm getting ready to say. There's three or four of them. Now, they've happened in pockets. They've happened in certain empires and in certain nations and places like, you know, North Korea and China, but never in the on the whole planet, and never on the whole planet almost at one time. I mean, within days apart. So this thing about not singing, see, Germany, the whole nation of Germany passed a law. Churches could not sing. Other nations did the same. And so, but the bottom line is this. This last few months, this was the first time in the history of the church that on Resurrection Sunday, the churches all over the world were closed. Now, brother, Resurrection Sunday marks the defeat of Satan. And you see Revelation 12:12 says, woe unto you, earth, he is being thrown down in the last days. He is filled with rage because he knows his time is short. In 2020, Satan shut down the churches with an unseen virus. From the unseen realm, he shut down the churches worldwide on Resurrection Sunday. 50 days later, Pentecost, you still could hardly find a church anywhere. And it's the celebration of the birth of the church, which Jesus said, my church, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's the preacher of the gospel. It's the witness and the minister to the world. It's the body of Christ. And then, right behind that came the chaos of the riots, the lawlessness, truth being thrown to the ground, pandemonium, burning, killing, looting, robbing, attacking police, attacking law and order. And then, right behind that, of course, or right in front of that, is this whole COVID outbreak and everything that goes with it. And then, in the midst of that chaos of the panic, comes the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, we talked about that. Of course Black Lives Matter. I mean, I'm a born-again believer. All lives matter to me because of Jesus Christ. But we started saying that just trying to bring peace and comfort to people, because that's the message of the gospel from beginning to end. And people all over the world started attacking those of us that were speaking truth and peace and love. All lives matter. It almost sounds like a hippie thing to say now, you know. You know, all lives matter. Here's a daffodil. All lives matter. But it's the truth. That's the gospel message. Paul said, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female, there's no free, there's no slave. All lives matter to Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, because all lives matter, could come and have eternal life. So now, for the first time in history, all over the world, we're being pressured by this oppressive spirit of Antichrist not to say what God's Word says from Genesis to Revelation. All lives matter. From the womb to the tomb, all lives matter. Yeah. But yet, we've had religious leaders that have lost their jobs. We've had executives and corporate leaders that have lost their jobs. We've had people attacked because they've said it. We've had people beat up because they've said it. We've had people fired because they said it. Brother, all of these things are unprecedented in that the whole globe is wrapped up in this spirit of shutting the church down. You can't sing. You can't praise Jesus. You can't say the gospel, all lives matter. You can't say Jesus is the only way of salvation. You can't worship on Resurrection Sunday. You can't worship on Pentecost. Shut up. Sit down. Get out of here. And if you do go back, if you got 1,000 people in your congregation, nope, no good. Only 10% or less can meet. No more than 100. I mean, it's like they're just gutting the church, and it's all falling right before the most important election the planet has ever seen, because the church in America pretty much helped or pretty much put Donald Trump in office. The evil one knows it. The ugly people know it. The America haters know it. They're trying to shut down every avenue they can to get him out and to shut the church up.
Amazing. Let's go with this. It should be so very, very plain to people, you know, iniquity. People, you know, iniquity is abounding. People don't realize, a lot of people, you say, well, what's iniquity? You'd be amazed at some of the answers I get, but the simple answer is lawlessness, you know, being without law. That's what they're promoting. I mean, everything that they're doing, the people in control of these cities are promoting lawlessness.
Yep.
They're not even picking and choosing. They're just, go ahead, break the law. I never thought I would see something like that in this country like that. It's just, but it isn't. It's worldwide, is it not? This is the main player. Back to you.
Yeah. No, the spirit is worldwide. See, that's another marker of how we can know that we're in the last days. First of all, Revelation 12:12 again, when it talks about the very last days, Satan will know his time is short and he will be filled with rage. Well, Satan's never been able to pull a coup like he's done this time. He's never been able to shut churches down worldwide on Resurrection Sunday or Pentecost. He's never been able to get pretty much Christians all over the world not to utter the words, all lives matter to God, to Jesus Christ. He's never been able to do that, but he's doing it now. He's never been able to get the United States of America, the bastion of rule of law, the bastion of constitutional republic and the Bill of Rights and equal justice for all, at least that's our ideal. He's never been able to shut that down, and he's in the process of it right now. About half our country seems to be supporting this illogical, irrational, demonic spirit. But you see the thing, all of those things separate us apart as a generation, and we're only 72 years the other side of the return of Israel. And that's when the clock started ticking, brother. And,
right.
And there you go. And we're only just a year and a half, 2 years away from when Jerusalem was declared the official capital. That's another 2,800-year-old prophecy. And we're living in the midst of all of this, and yet most of the church doesn't see any of it. And most of the church dissuades their people from listening to people like you and me because they say that we're just crazy, we're radicals, we, you know, it just drives me out of my mind. And it's the days of Noah, brother. People are just eating and drinking and giving in marriage and buying and selling, and the world's coming apart at the seams. It's coming unglued around them. And not only do they not see it, but pastors and pulpits all over this land don't even see it.
Yeah, absolutely. If people would go back and listen to some earlier programs that we did, you would hear the progression of this coming forward with the warning being sounded. But it's like that. It's too long that people do that. Well, hey, those guys are just nuts. So your audience is well, yeah, we got a good audience, but you know what I mean, compared to the world and the people that ought to be listening, they're just not. Oh, those guys are just kooks. But now, not so much. You know, I mean, yeah. The audience has been, and hello to all the new people out there.
Yeah, hello.
It's been picking up. You know what I'm saying? It's now picking up. And especially what really gets me is worldwide. Yes, in America, people are starting to listen, but you wouldn't believe how many of my audience from overseas and places like China and places all over the world are just, the audience is getting bigger, Carl. They're really good.
I know, Dan, listen, I'm going to do this live over the air, but I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But I would love to have you on my show. I've been doing it for 20 years. I've got a worldwide audience, and it plays over four different secular radio stations down here on the Gulf Coast, and we podcast it. And brother, I would love to get you on tomorrow if you can. Now, you just think about it. You don't have to say anything over the air, but you know how to get in contact with me, so let me know if you're interested, and if you are, we'll try to get you hooked up. And if you can't do it tomorrow, then we'll do it sometime soon. But I want you on my radio program. I want to introduce you to my audience. I mention you quite often, actually, and other people that I do interviews with, but I want to get you on there, and let's talk about these things.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I will. I have to check. Let you know about tomorrow.
Yeah.
What time of day is that anyway?
Well, it's central. Let me give it Eastern time. All right, it's 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's a 2-hour live show. And then, and then that's on Fridays. And then on Saturday, it goes to podcast. And then Sunday, it plays again on FM and AM stations all over the Gulf Coast down here. And then they live stream it to the world. So, and I've been doing this for a long time, so we've got a big audience. But you just think about it, and let me apologize to your audience. I'm not didn't mean to do business over the air like this, but but it's hard to get a hold of this man in person. So
that's
do it right here in front of the whole world.
Yeah, amen. Well, hey, anyway, I pick on you a lot. You know, I love you, Carl. Let's go with this. We're talking about, so the devil's come down. Here's what's, I want to go back to your book. I hate to keep doing that, but with your book, this new book, Masquerade, let alone being prophetic, it's identifier. People don't even understand. Let's give them an example. Most people don't even understand what a demon is. They don't understand that it, whether or not a fallen angel can come down and manifest himself in human form. They don't understand any of that. They don't know what they're up against. Your book, could you give them a little bit of that? Your book does explain that.
Yeah, I go into deep detail on who Satan really is, what the Bible really says about him, and you're going to find some shocking things in that book that you've probably never heard before from a Bible study lesson or from a pulpit sermon. And then I speak of the demonic realm, and just very, very briefly, I mean, there's so much to this to unpack, and we don't have time, but very briefly, yeah. The demonic realm, of course, is made up of the, I'm just going to say, the fallen ones. And we say, well, they're fallen angels. Well, that's true. That's true. But apparently there are various classes of the angelic realm. Just like in the human realm, there are various races of humans. And even among the races, there are various cultures. And even among the cultures, people have different sizes and shapes, and there are male and female, and there are children, and, you know, so it apparently it's something very similar in the angelic realm, according to the Word of God and the hints that we get. And so when we speak, because there's a certain class of angels, Peter and Jude tell us, that are held in the lowest, darkest, deepest dungeons because of what they did during the days of Noah. So you've got all of that. You know, you've got messenger angels, you've got warrior angels, and some of them had fallen, some of them followed Satan. Well, who was Satan? The Bible says he was the guardian cherub of the garden. God put him there. Well, what's a cherub? Well, it's a living creature. Well, what's a living creature? It's a worship leader. You see them in Revelation. I mean, we can just go on and on and on. Now, as far as manifestation, that's kind of broken into three epic periods of time. One was before the flood, and apparently angels and humans had direct contact with each other because heaven and earth were one. Everything was perfect, and the throne room of God, the center fellowship of God, was in Eden, the Garden of Eden. I write about that in the book Gods of Ground Zero. I mean, I go into great detail about that, and the Bible tells us where that was as far as on the face of the earth. But after the fall, that became separated, and then after the flood, it really became separated. And then between the flood and now, the Bible appears to indicate, and many, many, many scholars agree with what I'm saying, you know, I got all this documented,
that
the demonic realm right now are prohibited. They cannot manifest as a flesh and blood human being like an obedient angel is allowed to do. Over and over, we see angels appearing in the scriptures, and to the eye of the beholder, they appear as humans. They appear as people. In fact, sometimes the person that they're appearing to doesn't even know that they're not human until they manifest themselves. All the way from Abraham, all the way into the book into Peter being in prison, and, you know, and then his angel goes and shows up at the door, and they think it's Peter. They think it's a person. They don't even know it's an angel till it's all over with. I've had an angelic encounter like that. I know what that is. But the demonic, they are posers. They are masqueraders. They masquerade as little green men from other planets. They masquerade as your dead grandmother if you go to an occultist that's going to call them up from the dead. They will masquerade as goblins and ghosts in the night. They will masquerade. I'm convinced they hide behind images that are in our movies and our video games and before us. I mean, they masquerade and they manipulate, they infiltrate, they mess with people's minds. When people take drugs and alcohol and abuse, they open up doors, they have visions and dreams, and demons are in their room, and demons come to them at night, and they're masquerading. That's how the demonic realm works. But it appears from the Bible that in the very last days, before the return of the Lord, and we're not going to get into eschatology. Is it before the rapture, after the rapture, middle of the rapture? I don't care. But the Bible says there's going to be people on the earth that are going to see the pit opened, the abyss opened, and the demonic pouring out. Revelation 12 says that Satan, his angels are going to be, they're going to be hurled down to the earth, on the earth in the last days. And I mean, I think there's going to be a manifestation in the last days because Jesus said it'll be just like the days of Noah in the last days. And then he said it'll be just like the days of Lot. Well, who showed up to rescue Lot? Angels. What did the people think? They thought they were humans. What did the people want to do? They wanted to have sex with them. Well, what happened in the days of Noah? The sons of God came unto the daughters of men and had children by them. And then God saw all the evil and the corruption of the flesh, and he killed everything. And that term, sons of God, every other place it's used in the scriptures, it is used to speak of angels. And obviously these were fallen angels, still in communion with human beings, and they stepped over their boundaries, and God threw them in the deepest, darkest dungeons. And brother, I'm telling you, I could go on and on about this, and I do in my book, but right now I've just scratched the surface. But if some of your people have never heard this, they're going to think I'm absolutely crazy. The problem is, the Bible says everything I just said, and the classical scholars all the way back to the first century, that means the disciples themselves and their children and their children's children were writing about it, and they understood the very same thing. People better wake up. We have a great delusion that's on its way, and Satan's going to be behind it in the form of the Antichrist.
Yeah, amen. This book is a roadmap for that. It really does lay it out. All your books are great. In fact, I encourage people to read every one of your books. Clear back to your first one, which I was one of my very favorite books.
Thank you.
But the very point of it is you do lay all this out, and there's much more detail, and you even get away in the end of Masquerade on what to do, you know, salvation wise and how to get out of these things. And so
it's
extraordinary. And I like the part, I even noticed that yesterday you were talking about doorways and talking about how alcohol and different things, you know, can bring on those manifestations. And so it's there. The evidence is there. You lay it out and you don't just say it. You also back it up as well as a police officer would. You, by using evidence from other people, other scholars, in it. So it's just fantastic. Back to you.
Oh, well, thank you. You're too kind. I don't even know what to say except all shucks. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Well, folks, he's from the South, you know.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. My accent gives that away. It's crazy. I was raised in Michigan the first 10 years of my life, so I had a northern accent, and I came down here and everybody, you know, kept calling me a Yankee, but I've lived down here so long now, everywhere I go, people say, man, you're from the South, aren't you? I say, yeah, I am.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's perfectly fine, Carl, but you know, and look at the stability. How long have you been preaching at your church?
34 years as the senior pastor of one church, and I was a couple of years as an associate pastor in a church before that, and 10, almost 11 years in Florida law enforcement before that.
Yeah, amen. The background that you came from, being a former law enforcement officer, that is what really plays out in your books, because you present your case. You know, you look at for the loopholes and you plug the loopholes. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. I'm like this. That's one of the reasons I like your books, is because whenever I discover or think that I have discovered something new, then I go look for all the holes in it and I try to disprove myself.
Exactly.
And
I do too.
And most people won't do that. They just look for things that prove their point, instead of looking for the other side of it. And it's just, you know, it's a rarity to find people that do that and are willing to listen and even change their attitude. Well, Carl, tell them where all they can find that stuff at and everything, and I'm going to let you get out of here.
Yeah, I encourage them to go to my website. It's packed with information, but it's very clean to read. It's just one page, but if you'll start clicking on the little file cabinet there and the drop downs, and you're just going to be amazed at what you'll find. But my books, you can get a link to my church. You can watch us live stream if you don't have a church. videos, you know, interviews, etc. Everything at carlgallops.com. That's my name, .com.
Yeah, amen. I like the new look of it. At first, when I looked at it about a few weeks ago, I thought, a bunch of stuff's gone. Well, it's not. You just got to click around and look. It's all there.
It's all there. It's just tucked away in file cabinets now.
Okay, well, I'll let you know about that. Let me see what's on my agenda tomorrow, and I'll get a hold of you.
All right. If you can't do it, don't worry about it. But if you can, I'd love to have you.
Well, I'd like to be on. I don't know for sure about tomorrow, but I'd like to. I'd really like to do it.
Yeah. Well, if you can't tomorrow, we'll do it some other time. Just let me know.
Okay. All right. Will you be blessed?
Goodbye
and shalom to you, Carl. Bye-bye.
Okay,
folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. His latest book, Masquerade, is a book for right now. With what's going on, you'll see it when you read it. Then I would check out all his books. But anyway, folks, remember, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We could use your help. Pray about supporting radio. After all, you are listening to radio, and radio isn't free. I have to pay airtime. But remember, folks, there really is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. As the Father and him are one. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.